Hello, and welcome to another episode of Point to Point. It's the show where I drive from one place to another and try to get to the point. Today's drive, just driving from my house to the Michaels. You know, you gotta work from home day. Sometimes you need to get some crafting supplies. I was out shooting the South of Midnight video, as mentioned in yesterday's episode, and got super glue schmutz all over my teleprompter screen that was using a janky piece of plastic that I yanked off of a 2024 calendar planner thing. So now it's time to upgrade. It's time to get a real material that isn't all scratched to hell and covered in whatever super glue schmutz, whatever that is. I don't really know what it is. It doesn't look good though. Today I also published the next episode of my Atomic Heart playthrough, titled A Competent Turn. And it feels like it kind of is. I don't know. It was a weird thing where I feel like a lot of stuff happened in episode two. You know, you enter the Vavilov complex, and then you fight black suit Terminator robot. You get the cool Russian lord moment, and then you meet Nora the vending machine, and et cetera, et cetera. And then this one, I mean, the thing that kind of shocked me about this episode of the playthrough, we met Petrov, we picked up an orb, what you use to unlock doors. I still haven't quite learned the alarm concept. There's a lot of tutorial will be told to you when a thing happens, not when a thing is like possible to happen. So I still don't know how the alarms work. That's fine. Just some confusing UI, but whatever, we can get over it. But it just felt like it was a competent video game. I still don't love the voice acting in this game. It still very much feels like they recorded it afterwards and kind of just like made a video game and then put dialogue in afterwards, which I know is not how it works, but it sure as hell feels like it. I think the thing that kind of it feels weird about it is it reminds me of like bad 80s action movies, but not like good bad, like actually bad ones where they ADR'd all the lines in. Like it almost feels like this is not a bad action movie, but it reminds me of the Power Rangers show, where it would just take like Super Sentai shows and then they would just shoot the not in costume version of it. And it feels very, for everything in that game that looks high budget, the story writing and specifically the voice acting and like how the different actors are not necessarily working together, it just feels very low budget and low rent, and it just feels tacked on and weird. Like I still believe, just as I believe that South of Midnight would be a better video game if it did not have combat in it, I believe that Atomic Heart would be a better video game if the main protagonist didn't talk. Like if he's just a silent protagonist taking the world as it comes, I think that that would be great. But there's like less of the bad stuff in the episode 3 that I played. Like yes, the vending machine is in this one too, and it does say squirt your polymer inside me, and that's really fucked up and I hate it. I hate that vending machine. I kind of say it on the episode, but I really hope that there is a reason why the vending machine is such a toxic piece of trash. But yeah, we'll see. But otherwise, it's kind of just like the glove tells you, hey, there's this thing that you can do. And the dude says, that's an interesting idea. I'll do that thing. And a little bit less of the sass. It doesn't seem like they're building to anything about the glove guy and the main guy being pals at the end of this. They're really going for their combo of snarky Jarvis and Gladys, but I don't know. I guess we'll see how it goes. I am still committed to playing that game. I still need to know what all of the stuff about it is about, and hopefully there's something more there's got to be something more to it, right? Like, it's got to be, like, oh, there's cool set pieces, and it's got to be more than, weird vending machines and sexy ballerina robots and bad Bioshock, right? Anyway, so the next point, I will continue playing Atomic Heart. There will be more. I was going through some of the stuff for the long episodes I put out last week when I was on that other drive, and I knew it as it was happening, and I didn't feel bad about it because the whole point of this show is that I am driving and cannot get stuck in the Wikipedia holes and going back and looking at stuff. No, that's for my brain when I arrive at my location or get back home. And a weird project that I've been very on and off again is tracking the games that I play. I've been a backlogged user. I've been a backlogged user for 2-ish years now, I think. I like tracked most of the stuff for my original GOTY list in there, but it's slightly more steps than I'd like. So I typically just track the games that I play that are in GOTY contention in just like a clear list, which is an iOS app that I wrote about on my other blog. I think that post is still up, but it's been something that I've been meaning to do, especially when that episode came up and thinking back to some of the old games that I used to play. Or something that I've really been thinking about is, you know, I mentioned The Outfit, that Xbox 360 launch-ish title, if I remember right. And it was just like kind of a standard, this is a video game. And there was a rental, like it was fully a rental. And there's this weird phase of games from when, like, basically Genesis to, I guess, like late 360, when I was playing a lot of video games, but they were almost all exclusively rentals. Like, I think I probably owned, Xbox 360 was the time when I owned the most video games, I think. And I honestly couldn't count on probably two hands the amount of physical games that I had discs for. And even those ones, the ones that I had, were the three different box collections of Mass Effect, the Mass Effect games. It was also, like, I had the map and Septim coin version of Oblivion, but I didn't like devour a ton of video games. I just devoured like 12, because you could rent games. What a novel concept. You could just go down to the Blockbuster or the Family Video and rent some video games. But it means that so much of my video game enjoyment was ephemeral. Like, I never had, like, I have saves for a bunch of these games that, you know, I would just boot up every once in a while. But those saves only exist if they were uploaded to the cloud in, like, the late 360 era that I was playing in. So, like, all of the PS2 games that I played, like, I mentioned Smuggler's Run as a weird Rockstar game that I played. I don't have any of that stuff. Like, that, it was abandoned like 3 rounds ago. I do a really bad job of holding on to stuff, or a really good job, depending on if you are if you live in the house with me. So I just don't have a bunch of that stuff, which means that even if I still had the consoles, I might be able to have a memory card or two, but also that stuff is ephemeral, and memory is hard to hold on to when you're playing a PlayStation 2 video game and you only have a, you know, 16 megabyte memory card. You got to wipe that shit and move on to the next thing. So it means that I was going through backlogged this weekend, and I was just combing through it. And basically what I did was I did the crazy thing that I've been meaning to do for a long time, and I just sorted by release date and went backwards. And I locked it down to the consoles that I had played and everything so that it wasn't just absolute nonsense, which helped because I've only very recently played PC games and most of that stuff is captured and backlogged. So I was able to, like, tick back. And I just like, I don't have a ton of them on the top of my head, but the thing I was really surprised by was spotting the cover art for games in the early 2000s and being like, oh yeah, I threw a weekend at that game. Like, I definitely spent more than, you know, 10 minutes playing this weird particular game. Like, some of it is, like, definitely demo stuff. Like, I've always wanted to play the Lost Planet games because I played the Game Informer demo disc that had the first, like, very snowy outside level of Lost Planet on it, and always thought that that was pretty cool. Like, I should go back and try that. But when I was playing, I was going back through Backlogged, there's just, like, a bunch of, like, just remembering all of the different RTS games I played. Like, I didn't mention the Battle for Middle-Earth licensed RTS game and its sequel that I absolutely loved, or the Star Wars Empire at War RTS, which was also fantastic. Like, I spent so much time playing all these different PC RTSs and renting PS2 games, and I mean, I don't know if it's just my canonically bad memory or what it is, but I found a bunch of stuff in that list that I have not thought about probably since the moment I put it in the drop-off bin at Blockbuster. Like, the one that I continue to think about constantly is that I could not tell you what the title of this video game is for the life of me if you showed me the box art. And it is the picture of a gladiator, and he's doing a lunge, and I think he's got two swords, maybe a shield. And it's called Shadow of Rome, and I guess it's a Capcom game, but it was a, like, arena gladiator brawler kind of thing for the PlayStation 2. And I saw the title, and I saw the box art, and I was like, holy shit, I've played this game. I've played so much of this game. And it was, I think it probably hit in a Gladiator Fever, the capital G Gladiator Fever, which is also a good old time for me. But like games like that, or Darksiders, the version of God of War that I got to play. It turns out if you don't have a PlayStation 3, or you know, you're 12 when the PlayStation is out and about, your parents aren't, like, super into letting you play God of War. I did eventually play it, maybe a couple years later, but, like, Darksiders was the, like, running around with cool death swords game that I played. Like that, or, like, the hacked PS1 that I had. I played a shitload of Ridge Racer, and I just forgot that that happened. So it's been really fun, kind of rolling back through all of these games. And I ended up bumping that list of played games when I kind of first went through it from like around like 100-150, and it's now up to over 450 games that I have touched and spent probably more than half an hour to an hour in. And most of it is just that weird shit that came out in the early 2000s, like late 90s, that I would end up picking up at a Blockbuster. And most of it's not N64 stuff. It's just kind of the heyday of PlayStation 2 and whatever weird stuff came out on the 360 and the original Xbox. And it was a fun time. Like, I'll probably post about a bunch of the fun ones that I found that is just the classic example of I did not remember that this game had existed ever, let alone that I had played it, until I saw the box art and immediately had this moment of recognition. It was a wild time. I highly encourage you just like stepping through Backlogged, sorted by release date, because it's nuts. I was really surprised by what I ended up finding in there. But I am now at the Michaels. It is time for me to get my replacement parts. So yeah, thanks for hanging out on this quick drive, technically in the afternoon, breaking the rules of the show, but I will do that just for content and for fun. All right, thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time, and hey, have a good rest of your day. See you later.